Praise the Lord this evening that I'm here again to fellowship with you. And I want to greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I also bring greetings from our church back home in Zimbabwe. Before I came here, I was in Mumbai, India, and I also visited Delhi and Coimbatore. And the brethren there are sending their greetings. So we thank God for His love, and we thank God that He has called us and has brought us into the light of His Word, that we may know the purpose of His will. So I thank God that He is keeping us, that I can see the old faces, which I saw some 5 years ago, still in the way of the light of the Word. And I'm glad to see some young ones who have grown up to be big now, and they have not been taken by the winds of the evil one. So I thank God that He is still keeping us, and I also thank God that He has kept me, that I be able to stand even in these troublous times. I thank God that He is still has His hand on me and keeping me, that I may walk in the light of the message that He has given us, whereby we are saved and have to be sanctified and be ready for the great day of the rapture. Amen. Now, tonight, I just want to share with you a little thought. If we can read from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, verses 37 and 38. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. If we go to verse 45, it says, And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Now, I just want to share with you a thought here. From where we have read, I just want to maybe title this message, The Way of the Word. We see here that the word of the Lord came to Mary by the angel to tell her what was going to be, that she was going to bring forth this child or son, who was to be named Jesus, who was to be the Savior of the world. And then she asked the question, how can it be, since I know not a man? And then the angel told him that the Holy Ghost was going to overshadow it, and that what was going to be born was to be called the Son of God. And the angel also confirmed that nothing is impossible with God. And then Mary said these words. You know, she just said the right word or the right thing. Let it be unto me according to thy word. And then the blessing was pronounced on her because she had believed. And it says, Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So you see, the word of the Lord came to her and revealed the mind of God to her, what God's desire was, irrespective of what she was or the natural way of how things should happen. She was told the word of God, which was very contrary to anything that is natural. And then she even questioned, how can it be? But she got more revelation. Her questioning was not doubting the word, but you know, as human nature, you cannot just grasp these spiritual things just like that. So she was she wanted to know how this could be, and because of her attitude towards God's word, it was revealed to her how it was going to be, and then she believed it and said, let it be unto me according to thy word. And then the blessing was pronounced on her, that she was going to be blessed because she had believed. And everything that the Lord had told her, or the word had said, was going to be. So, it was going to be by the way of the word. So we just want to share this, the way of the word. Now, it's not just that things are done, even in our lives, our Christian experience, though it be good, but it's not just that a good thing has happened in my life, or I've done a good work, or I've done something good, or I've said something good, or something which is very right, but it is how it was said. What caused you, what made you to do what you did? That's what counts. And Mary said, she was not just excited that, okay, this is going to happen to me. I just want it to happen. She emphasized the fact that it must be according to the word. And that's why I believe God has given us, or he has sent the prophet to bring us back to the word. Not just to the letter of the word, but to the essence of God, or to the actual revelation or manifestation of the word of God in our lives. You know, Jesus Christ gave that parable of the man who was found in the at the wedding feast. And he was asked, how did you come in? He was in, and if you can look at the parable, it says many people were invited and they refused to come. They gave their own reasons. But yet, this man comes and is there in the hall or whatever, the place they were holding this wedding. But he was asked, how did you come in? You are here, okay? You have heeded to the call. You have done good, you have come, but how did you come in? Even Paul, when he came to Ephesus in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, he saw those people worshipping the Lord, good as they were. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we don't know that. Then he questioned them, how were ye baptized? So, it is not just that we have done a thing, or it's not just that because we have done a good thing, but how did we actually do it? What caused us to do what we have done? So it has to be by the way of the word. And why should it be so? Because you can see in the book of John, the Bible clearly says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. So, as we know that before the beginning, it was this great Spirit, the great Elohim. In him, he had a desire. In him, he had a mind. In him, he counseled within himself what he really wanted to be done. And He never did a thing until he manifested even his thoughts and himself in the Word. And then the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. He never did anything himself outside that Word. So we can see everything that God did, or whatever God is, revolves around that Word. And that Word is the revelation of who He is. It's not just something that is done, but it comes from Him. It is something that is an expression of the true mind, or the true desire, or the truthfulness of God can only be revealed and can only be manifested through that Word. Because He says, without the Word, there is nothing that was created. There is nothing that was. And we, when now, that Word, according to John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, then that Word became flesh. And now the process of that Word becoming flesh is when the angel came to Mary to tell her what the mind of God was. And Mary got the revelation to say, let it be unto me according to the Word. Not just because it is good. Not just because, you know, people think good of me. Not just because it will be something miraculous. Like the brother was saying about this pillar of fire thing which is going around the world. All people are interested in is just to have an acquaintance or something to be, or to be associated with what is called or what is said to be God. So if that light appears, or if that pillar of fire appears, then the people feel good. Even if they know really in their lives, maybe they are deceived to think it is the pillar of fire, right? But they even know in their lives that they are not living right. They are not believing right. They know it. But they are just happy that a pillar of fire has appeared, or even a miracle has happened in one's life. You know, that is not the essence. That's not the way we can be built upon. Just an experience. But it has to be according to the Word. And what is the Word? Not just letter form. Not just something that the Word said was going to be, and then we make it to be. So that we say, God has done this thing. You know, like when Jesus came, there were these people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, they had the written Word. They had the laws of Moses. And all they wanted to do was just to do what Moses said. That's why they brought even that woman and said, we found this woman in the act of adultery. Moses said she must be stoned. Right. All they wanted to do was just to enact or to act what was written in the scripture, irrespective of who they were and what their life was. And then Jesus challenged them. He says, he who has not sinned, let him cast the first stone. Not one was found. But they were there fundamentally right. They were correct. But their life was not in accordance with what they were saying. So you see, let it be unto me according to the Word. Now the Word was made flesh. Now since it has to be with us according to the Word, it did not just begin here. That's why the Bible says, way back in the beginning was the Word. And that Word was with God. And that Word was God. And I think Peter puts it clear in the first book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. The first book of Peter, chapter 1. Verses 20 and 21. Here Peter is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
So you see here, Christ was foreordained way back there in the great mind of Elohim to be the agency through which God will materialize every thought, every desire, and whatever God wanted to be, He foreordained it in Christ. And He was foreordained for our redemption, that our faith and hope may be in God. So outside of this word, our faith and hope will be in something else. And if our faith and hope is in something else, that is not the word, we cannot live right. We cannot believe right. We cannot have any access to the right doctrine, to the right life, to the right revelation, and to the right thing that God desired us to be. So, because here, He was foreordained. It was not just something that cropped up later. But before the world was the Word. And then God had to bring whatever He desired through the agency of this Word. And Christ was foreordained. Amen. That in the last time, in the last days, He would appear for us. And when He died for us, and He rose again on the third day, that was to accomplish the desire of God. And nothing outside of that can accomplish what God desired. Because God never put it to be just anyhow. You see, there is a beaten path. There is a way that things have got to happen. There's a way that God desired things to be. Not just at the end of the day, you'll find people worshipping Him. Not that at the end of the day, you'll find people coming to church. Not at the end of the day, you'll find people preaching the word. That's not what God's desire was. It was to be in accordance with the word. And He foreordained it before the foundation of the world. So, I think it's verse 9 again. The same book of Peter. Verse 9, there's something that Peter said here. Now, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Amen. Now here is God who has ordained Christ that through Him we should have our redemption. And Christ is the Word. Now, it has to be by the way of the Word. Now, before Christ could come to fulfill the mind of God, it said here, even the Spirit of Christ, this Word, the Logos, was anointed by the Eternal Spirit to perform the desire of God. And before Christ came, His Spirit was in the prophets. And these prophets, by the same anointing, throughout the ages, were revealing or were showing the mystery which was to be revealed at the end. So God had to bring this thing through some channel. He did not just think it over there and then let it happen at the end there. But way back from there, He foreordained Christ to come. But before Christ will come, He has now these prophets with the same anointing upon them. And it said even the prophets, they knew that they were living, they were not living in the time of the fulfillment of the anointing that was upon them. They knew it was for another age. And they were looking forward to that. until they searched. And they were going through this, I believe, even Moses. When he was told to bring out the people of Israel out of bondage, you know, Moses did not just think of it was just a matter of bringing out those people out of bondage. That was not the revelation that Moses had. Because Moses, when he came out of Pharaoh's house, and he denied to be Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter's son, it said he was seeing something that was unseen. He was motivated by something that was not material there. And when he was bringing out the people of Israel, he knew, he believed there was something greater than just what he was doing there. That's why he said, the Lord your God is going to give you a prophet like unto me. He could see the work of the Messiah. When he was lifting up that brazen serpent, he knew what that meant. And here the Bible says, even the angels, they look into this thing.
Right.
Because they have the knowledge. You know, they know the meaning of redemption as it was portrayed through the prophets. Now, when they look down upon what is happening today, it says they look into these things. Because they know, they saw it before, how it was going to be. So when finally it is portrayed, or it is vindicated in our lives, then the angels can look down. That's why even the Bible says there's great joy in heaven when one sinner comes to God. I believe it's not just because somebody has stopped his smoking, somebody has stopped his drinking, and he has come to church, then the angels are happy. The angels are happy when they see the negative come positive.
Amen.
When they see what they already saw, the redemption that they saw portrayed through the prophets, when now it comes a reality, then they say, this is it. And then they are happy. They don't just rejoice because somebody has come to church. But when something which was preacted by the prophets of old, when they see the reality of it, then they have cause to be happy. Amen. Because I don't believe they are just fanatical. But when they are happy, they are happy because the real thing has come to be. Amen. So, here, the same anointing was in the prophets, bringing to pass the shadow of things that were going to be. And it was the word in the prophets. I think that's what Peter says here again. Let me just see. Is it Second Peter? Second Peter, chapter 1. It must be. Yes. Chapter 1, verse 20. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in all time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So you see, the same spirit of Christ was in the prophets. And then he says, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Because the holy men of God were moved by the spirit which was anointing the word. And the word is the manifestation, is the will, is the desire of the Almighty God. So it cannot just be interpreted anyway, anyhow. It has got to bring forth that which was ordained for it. It must be by the way of that word. And here it says, the prophecy came not by the will of man, but the holy men of God
were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then we see that in the book of Revelation, I think chapter 19, verse 10, it says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So, what confirms Jesus to be the true word was the same thing that was in the prophets. So, prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so, it must be by the way of the word. Amen. Now, so you see, in the beginning, it was the anointing of the Spirit upon the Logos to bring out the intention of God. And we know what happened in the beginning, how the Word came out of the Almighty and spoke, let there be, let there be, let there be. It was the Word that came out of Elohim. And in that theophany body, it could be seen by the prophets. That's how the prophets got the revelation of God. It was by through that manifestation of the word. And then they prophesied, they lived, they behaved after the influence of that word. So it cannot be of private interpretation. So it was not only prophesied, it was not only lived by the prophets, but they did something else again, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If we read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. It says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I think Paul says something again in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, in verse 8 he says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, we see the same anointing that was in the prophets, and they spoke the word of God. The same anointing made them to write the scriptures. So it says the scriptures, the holy scriptures, are able to make one wise. Now, wisdom is not just a knowledge. You know, you can know how to do a thing, and then you can do it. But when a wise man does the same thing through wisdom, it's different. You know, it's like a man who can run. Anybody can run. But somebody who is talented to run outruns the man who just runs. Amen. There is something more than just running in a talented man. So wisdom is not just doing something which is good, but it's getting the understanding. You know, it goes deeper than just doing something which is good. Wisdom knows how to separate, how to discern, how to go into the real matter of a thing.
So it says here, the scripture is the only thing that can give wisdom, which brings somebody to that salvation. So salvation is not just an act whereby somebody stops his smoking, stops his drinking, and comes to church. You don't become a Christian by just simple instruction of repent, be baptized, and come, and then you just be a worshiper. It says the scripture does not just instruct us, does not just give us laws of do's and don'ts. The scripture gives us the wisdom which brings us to repentance. Because it is the urgency by which God desired us to be his children. Amen. Now, you can see here that Paul says again, the scripture, knowing that we Gentiles will be justified by faith, preached to Abraham. You know, God, through the scripture, is still confirming that it's not just an act, but it has to be by the power of the same anointing which was originally in the Word from the beginning. It has got to be by the way of the Word. So it says here, the scripture, way before we came, it preached to Abraham and implanted a seed in Abraham. So the seed of faith which was planted in Abraham that caused our materialization was not by simple following God, but it was by revelation. Amen. And God, when he called Abraham, you know, he did not have to deal with him for his own sake. It says, for us to believe. God did not bring his word to us. He brought it to Abraham. That seed of faith is not just something that you just knock into. But it's predestinated. It's something that was kept in the, I'll say, bloodstream. It's something that is in your DNA.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Can you see? It's not just something that cropped up here.
Right.
But you can trace it way back until you find it in Abraham.
Amen.
And you go way again, you find it in God himself. It's something that came through the prophet so that our salvation will be by the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And the inspiration of his word. So it must be unto us in accordance with his word.
Amen.
Amen. Now, so, that's why, yes, it's in the book of Acts. Peter says that, chapter 3 of the book of Acts, or maybe before we read the book of Acts, let's just see, Paul says something again about the scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 1. He says in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You can see even Jesus Christ himself, he said here, Paul is a servant, separated to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. And this gospel is not just something that cropped up during his time. It was promised before by the prophets. How? In the holy scriptures.
Right.
So he is a witness now that this word is truth. For two is witness. There was the prophets, and there is now the written word, which is the scripture. So now it's double-fold now. It just confirms that when we come to God, we must have that witness in us. The witness of the scripture and the witness of prophecy. Amen. So it's not just now I've seen what the Bible says. I've seen here. Here it said this. Here it said this. And then I just run around with words from the Bible. It's not just words. Because God had to make sure that it has to be according to the word. And at one time Paul tells us that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Can you see that? Now, why? Because you can run around with the letter minus the spirit. But God made it twofold. He sent the prophets. They lived the life. They were anointed. And they showed forth the mystery of God even through their lives. To the extent that some of them were even born according to prophecy. How Jesus was going to be born. They were born. Joseph was sold for almost 30 pieces of silver. They actually lived an anointed life. That showed that their life was according to the word. And then they wrote as a testimony, as a witness to the truthfulness of that which was in them. And Paul says, even Jesus Christ, he came in accordance to the scripture. And in the book of, the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So Peter says, yeah, this Jesus who is going to be sent was preached unto you. And this Jesus was supposed to be received in heaven until the time of restitution of all things according to the mouth of all his holy prophets. So even Christ himself, he had to come and fit into this program because he was the very word. And he had to be received as the prophets had spoken. And he has to come after the restitution of all things as the prophets spoke. So the first coming of the Lord was according to the word of the prophets. And he will not come again until restitution of all things in accordance again to the word of the prophets. And then in the last part of chapter 3, it says, verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindred of the earth be blessed. We found in the book of Galatians where the scripture preached to Abraham that all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. And here he says, you are the children, you are the seed of the prophets. What did the prophets bring? They brought the word. What did the prophets do? They wrote the scripture. And Abraham, our father, was in the covenant. And Abraham, our father, was given the promise. So when Abraham received the promise, even his offspring, because the prophets all came from Abraham after the flesh. So they carried the same word which was given to Abraham. And God had to make it that it has to be by the word. And it was in that monogen, in that seed, that we were carried way from Abraham through the prophets. And now when the word is preached to us today,
It's not something new. It's what we are made of. That's why Mary could say, let it be unto me. Not according to the system or according to the way it's in these days, but according to the word. And she was called blessed. Amen. But now, you know, as for us, after the flesh, Paul says in the book of Ephesians, we were alienated from the promises of God. We were Gentiles after the flesh. We were without hope. We had no Christ. You know, so we were just hopeless beings, you know, groping in darkness. And because of that, we ended up with many gods, many ways of worship, and whatever we did, all the things that we did was because of the hopelessness that was in us after the flesh. Because we did not know God, we did not have the revelation, though we desired to worship, we ended up worshiping the wrong God. We ended worshiping the wrong way. Even unto this day, there may be a desire for people to worship God. There may be a desire for people even to believe the entire message. But it cannot just be accepted, you know, just because somebody is educated enough to read the Bible or to read the messages of the prophets, or that is educated enough to understand the English, which is the language of the prophet. It cannot be that today, because we understand that the scripture or the gospel was by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and it cannot be of any private interpretation, because people were outside the light of the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That's why they came up with their own interpretation of who God is. We see that in the book of Romans, how that people, even when God revealed himself to them, they started to worship the creature instead of the creator. You know, each time they wanted to do something that is of God, they will do it in the wrong way. Paul found the Greeks doing the same thing. They were worshipping many other gods, even to the unknown God. Why? Because the desire of worshipping is there. But unless the same anointing which was on the word before the foundation of the world comes upon one to give him the wisdom of understanding the purpose of God, you will end up worshipping the wrong way. You'll end up living the wrong life. I don't care how God can do and reveal things. It doesn't take to be where the word is preached right or where things are being done right. It doesn't take only that. Because Judas Iscariot was in the fire of revelation, the fire of the message of this hour, in the manifestation of all what the old prophets spoke about. He was there for 300 years, but he never got the revelation. It has to be by the wisdom which comes through the anointing of the same Spirit that wrote the scripture and fulfills again the scripture and also interprets the scripture. So, Jesus Christ himself, we found out that when he came, he was born, he was brought up, and he even went to stay and live where the scripture said he would be. He was born according to the scripture. He lived in that city according to the scripture. He died according to the scripture. He rose according to the scripture. He was received into heaven according to the scripture. And he's coming according to the scripture. So, Jesus himself,
could not be known by natural human. That's why on that day he says, who do the people say I, the Son of Man, am? And they are all interpretations. Until Peter said those notable words, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. And he has done it according to the word. Can you see? It has to be the Son which was in the beginning. Or else you'll never catch the right thing. Amen. So Jesus Christ, he had to be. And you know, he came according to the scriptures. Even when he was tempted, he fought back. It is written. He stood on that. He could not do anything else. It had to be according to the word. How did he overcome? He did not just walk away. The devil says, yeah, you are hungry. Here are stones. Change them so that you can have bread. He never just walked away. He said, it is written.
Right.
Can you see? He did not overcome by his own way. He did not just, you know, wiggle out of the situation. Can you see? He had to overcome by the word. That's why Paul says, this scripture gives us wisdom unto salvation.
Amen.
It's not just wiggling out of a situation. It's not just overcoming by closing my eyes so that I don't see the evil. It's not just by closing my mouth so that I don't say something bad.
Right.
It has to be the wisdom. And wisdom is more than knowledge. Can you see? You know, wisdom, you cannot be taught wisdom. Nobody can teach you wisdom into you. You see?
Right.
As much as we can teach people how to fly aeroplanes, how to do wondrous things, but wisdom, it comes from God.
Right.
It's something outside human endowment. So, that's what salvation is to us. It comes by the wisdom which comes through the scripture. And we are given that salvation. And that salvation is according to the word of God. It's not according to the Methodist church. It's not according to the Jehovah's Witness. It's not even according to anybody who claims to believe and to know the message. It comes from God. Amen. So Jesus had to overcome by that. You know, it was not just a statement that he made. To say, it is written. He was not just saying a statement. That is the very thing that made him to overcome. Because he was born according to what was written. Even his name was according to what was written. The day he was born was according to what was written. The place where he was born was according to what was written. Everything was according to the word. And that's the only thing that can make him overcome. Because that's what he is. He is the word. So let it be unto me according to the word. I don't want to be saved. I don't want to be a Christian. Just because I'm acquainted with Christian people. It must be to me according to the word. And if it comes to me according to the word, it will bring me to the fullness of the purpose of God. It will bring me to that which was in the mind of God. Way before the foundation of the world. If it's to me, according to the word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what he said even in Luke chapter 24. When he was telling those disciples who were doubting of his resurrection or what had happened. Verse 25 of chapter 24 in the book of Luke. Verse 25, he says, and then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He could not just explain. Tell them, could you know, you should just believe. After all, I was dead, now I'm alive. It's a great miracle. So you just believe. He went back to the scripture. Though he was there, with all the signs that he was dead and now alive. But he went back to the scripture, starting from Moses. He started to expound to them what happened. What? Why? Because it's the scripture. That's how God made it way from the beginning. It has got to come through that seed. It has got to come through that word. No other thing can confirm. That's why, you know, we cannot just be taken out by pillars of fire. We cannot just be taken out by miracles of this, by that and that.
Amen.
That's not where we stand.
Right.
We are not children of miracles. We are not here because we saw miracles. We are here because we are the manifestation of the word.
Amen.
As it was given to Abraham.
Amen.
That's why, you know, even John the Baptist, Jesus says he's the greatest of all the prophets. Yet he never even healed one person of a toothache. But he's the greatest of the prophets. So it's not just miracles. It's that word. It's that inspiration. It's that power of the scripture as it was given and portrayed way back from the beginning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's why, you know, Jesus Christ, in the book of John chapter 4, if we see verse 31, chapter 4, verse 31. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, yet any man brought him aught to eat. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.
Amen.
So they were trying to tell him, oh, you know, you're hungry, you know, we have walked all these miles, you know, you need to eat. He says, I have meat that I eat that you don't know. He says, maybe somebody brought in meat while we were in the city trying to find food. He says, my meat, my food.
Yes.
Now, what does food give us? It gives us strength.
Yes.
It gives us our life. So Jesus says, the power that makes me to live,
Amen.
The power that gives me strength, the food that makes me to stand, to be strong, to grow, is to do the will of my Father.
Amen.
He never ran away from the scripture. The very, you know, source of his life was that inspiration. Was that will which was in the Father before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The desire, the purpose which was in that great Elohim, until it is accomplished, Jesus says, I am not yet there. What gives me life, what makes me to live, is that will. It must be accomplished according to the word. So is it with us. It must be according to the word. Not according to some man's interpretation. It has to be unto me according to the word. You know, I must see myself, not only here, but I see myself in the prophets. I see myself in Abraham. I see myself in the written scripture. And then I can see myself in God. That's why the desire of those Greeks, when they said, when they came to the feast, they said, we want to see Jesus. You know, they had the revelation of what the feast meant. We want to see the reality. We want to see the negative, of the positive of this negative. Amen. According to the word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that was his purpose. That's why Paul says in the book of Hebrews, it says that sacrifices, you know, he will not touch. He said, now, because you have made, he made himself a body. And Jesus says, when he comes, I've come to do thy will. Amen. It was to do as the spoken word, as it was lived by the prophets, Christ came the same way to do the work.
Amen.
And now we are here, the bride of Jesus Christ. You know, as the great mystery was, even at the beginning, when God wanted to create man, it says when he created the man, you know, that feminine part was in the man. That spirit of the woman was in Adam. You know, she had to originate from him. You know, she's not just like any other animal. You know, all other animals were created two. But when it came to Adam, he was created one. And then out of him proceeded the wife. Out of Christ proceeds the bride. And when the bride is taken back to Christ, she will fit in. Because she was there from the beginning. She's not just somebody who was found there. She had to be in him from the beginning. Now, so the bride is the very expression of God. That's why throughout the ages, throughout this time, the prophets were prophesying. You know, with the life they lived, with their utterances. And now, here we are, children of Abraham, through the faith, as the word said to him. And maybe in conclusion, let's read how we came from Abraham in the book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, is it? Verse 6. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. So, the children of Abraham are children through faith, which came to him through the word. So, when Isaac was born, he was not just born because Sarah was married to Abraham. He was not born just because it's natural. That's why even Mary questioned, how is it going to be? Since I know not a man. And then he says, it's going to be according to the word. So Abraham's children are not those who are born just because Abraham is a man married to Sarah. But they are born, they are a realization, they are the manifestation of the thought that was in God. Before the children were born, God spoke, you are going to have a son. And it was so specific, it was so to the point, that you are going to have a son. Not just a child, but a son. So God's word is so specific. And then, it was through the promise that Abraham believed. So before the child was born, the word had to live in Abraham. And he had to have faith to materialize that word. So the children of faith are the children of Abraham. Right. Amen. And because they are that, they are not just interested in something that has just happened today. Our concern is not just what we can have today. You know, how I'm feeling today. You know, I go to church because of how I'm feeling today. I respect God's word because of my situation today. If things are not okay at school, then things will not go okay again in my Christian life. If things are not right at work, things are not right again in my spiritual life. If there's problems at home, problems in my Christian life. You know, those are people who are touched or who are influenced by the things that are there. The present. But that's why Hagar, when she knew she was pregnant by Abraham, she started to boast. Even before the child was born. You marry Sarah, what do you think you are here? All these years you have been here, no children. I can feel it. Why do you think you are here? She started, you know, to despise Sarah. And when the child was born, you know, even that child, you know, he was very pompous, you know. He said, you know, Isaac, after all, he's 2 years younger than me. He's even 3 years younger than me. I am the firstborn of Abraham. No, but he was only a child born after the promise. He was just there. He just came naturally. So the real true children of God are not people who are, you know, influenced by what is there. Can you see? That's why people, they can't even see the purpose of the message which God gave us. Because what do they see? They see what happened in the life of the prophet, the pillar of fire. What is there? That's what they see. They see the prophet. Everything is finished. He fulfilled all every mystery. He's revealed everything. There's nothing more. They just see today. But when we see the prophet bringing the message, you know, it's not just something that's for today. That's why even Abraham, when he was given the sort of what we can say, the promise in Isaac. Isaac was born according to the promise. But Abraham did not end in Isaac. That's why he, even though Isaac was given to him as the fulfillment of the promise of God to him, but it said in the scripture, he did not build a house. He lived in a tent, looking for a city. How could he look for a city when God had promised him Isaac and Isaac was given to him? Right. Why does he need another thing again? Because, you know, Isaac is a product of the word as promised. Can you see that? Yeah. And if it's a product of the word as promised by God, it will not end there. It looks for the fulfillment, the purpose which was originally in God. That's why even when Jacob and Esau were born, Esau was all concerned about now. Now I'm hungry.
Yes.
That's my concern. The Bethlehemite is going to give me an inheritance way down the line. What will that help me? Tomorrow will take care of itself. Now. Give me food now. I don't care what will happen tomorrow. Now. You see, the people who are not of promise, they can see the continuity of the word. All they see is now. Can you see? That's why people were following Christ Jesus. He is the prophet. He is the prophet. Why? Because now their dead were being raised. Now the sick were raised. We were healed. Now the demon possessed were released. That's why they were following him. Because now they are getting the bread. So they follow him.
Right.
Where were you? We were looking for you. Oh no. You were looking for me? Because you ate bread.
Yes.
That's why you were looking for me.
Right.
But I'm the true bread. Oh, that didn't work. The true bread For what?
We want the bread today.
We eat.
Not the true bread. You say you are the bread. When shall we eat you?
Give us bread now.
What are you going to give us?
Moses gave them bread now.
Yes.
They will give it manna there. And now you want bread now, and you are talking of something else.
We want now.
So the people who are out of the seed cannot see, you know, the scripture. They cannot see the word. The word is not a dead end. The word is the revelation of God. Until we come back into eternity, we are still looking for the revelation of God. We are still looking for the wisdom of God. Because if we say we no longer need revelation, if we say all the things are revealed, everything else, you know, we cannot live without the wisdom. And wisdom comes from God. It has to be unto us according to the word of God. So to us, salvation is the word. To us, God is revealed in his word. I'm not interested in just being a Christian because it's something that is there in the world, in Christendom. But I am interested in the word which was in the beginning. Like Mary said, let it be unto me according to thy word. Let it be to me the way of the word. So my salvation will be based upon that word. And then I'll have respect for that word. I'll have comfort in that word. And the word of God does not see today. It sees way to the end. So I can persevere even when I come to trials. I can persevere even when things are not right. I can persevere even when things are against me, because I'm not influenced by today. I'm influenced by the inspiration of the word. So let it be unto me according to the word of God. May God bless you.